I have a confession to make for you guys. I'm sure by the way this panel looks, interracial kind of ain't our thing, unfortunately, as far as literature is concerned. We all do write diverse material. However, I must explain the beginning of this panel came from my author friend Stephanie Burke, who many of you know or may know as a black author who writes interspecies stuff and considers it interracial. It sells really, really well because she's not talking about black and white. She's talking about tigers and lions and werecubs and pigs and this and that. Huge, 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 huge diversity market. So, unfortunately, she had an incident where she could not be around tonight to help us fill in as far as the non-white quotient bullshit we need to have for interracial discourse. So, first of all, I would like a hand of applause for Stephanie Burke for coming with the panel. I think that in this particular case, interracial relationships in romance and erotica need to be covered because it's an important market, it's an emerging market, it's a diverse market, and for those of you who are here who are writers, it fucking sells. Which is all we care about because in the long run, you write your stories the way you write them. If you got black guys, white guys, brown guys, purple and pink polka dots, tigers, lions, whatever, it doesn't matter. You write them, you love the stories, clearly there's an audience for it. Since the four of us aren't really qualified to discuss interracial per se, we're going to spin this a little bit towards the alien faction. How many of you guys love the alien faction? Show of hands or clapping. A couple of you. Really? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
One guy.
We got three fucking folks in here. What the hell? Seriously? None of you are sci-fi writers? Sci-fi or fantasy?
Yeah.
Show of hands, sci-fi, fantasy, myself included. Okay, we got a better crowd here. First question to you guys, how many of you guys are aspiring writers? Again, show of hands. How many of you are looking for publication, be it self-pub or with a publisher traditional, ebook included? So you want to make some money out of doing this. We're here to try and teach you the best we can because we know our shit. So to start things off, my name is Sasha Ilyevich. I'm the bad boy of romance. I get to come to cons and be drunk and flirt and fuck around and bullshit and smoke and drink. And write it the fuck off!
Great.
14 years publication since the very first day. Red Sage just picked me up. Secret Cravings just signed a 6-book contract with me for paranormal romance. I'm represented by the M. Corvisiero Literary Agency with two agents, and publicity is done through, what is she calling herself these days? It's Deborah Riley Magnus. So make a note of that because you guys will love that. That's my background. I'm also the co-founder of WriteSex.com. That is Write-Sex.com. Panel on that tomorrow, of course. Same location, I believe. And that's my thing. I've written the gamut from erotic romance to contemporary to paranormal to sci-fi to gay to everything you in between, you name it, I've probably done it. Short story, long story, novel, whatever, I've done it over the last 14 years. I'm going to allow our panelists to introduce themselves and then we'll go into questions and then after we have time, we'll pick you guys' brains and see what's what. So, Kiernan, if you would, please.
I'm Kiernan Kelly. I write mostly gay romance. I also write some horror. I've written just about every subgenre within that genre. So I've written historical, humor, contemporary, paranormal, sci-fi, fantasy, urban fantasy, you name it, I've probably written it. I've got 13 books and over, I'd say, close to 80 shorts now out in print.
You guys should check out Seti's Heart, by the way. That's one of the stories I read as a reviewer, and oh my God, it's fucking great.
Thank you, Sasha.
Adrian.
Yes, sir. My name is Adrian Wilder, and I write urban fantasy, paranormal. I'm getting ready to put out a few contemporaries, but most of my stuff is in the realm of what I call contemporary science fiction, and like I said, urban fantasy and paranormal. Most of mine is male-male. Almost all the characters are interspecies so far.
Cassidy, take it home.
I'm Cassidy Kingston. All of mine are paranormal romance. I'm fairly new. I've only got 6 published so far. So I'm the newbie on the
With who?
Torrid Romance.
Who?
Torrid.
Come again, the full name.
Torrid Romance.
Whiskey Torrid Press?
Whiskey Creek.
Thank you.
Sorry.
All right, so now you know a little bit about us. My first question to the panelists is, as far as when you're considering, let's go different from what I would normally ask. Let's go with pairings. When you're coming up with a story idea, as far as the alien bit or the interracial bit or whatever the hell it is, where are you leaning towards and why? Karen, go.
Leaning towards what?
As far as, do you want to do two guys, two girls, tentacles? Do you want to do...
Okay, it's always two guys. Sometimes there are tentacles.
All right, so what? So tell us and why.
Usually if there are two guys, there are at least two tentacles.
FYI, it's an adult panel, so we're going to... Yeah. And again, why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because they're hot.
Are you thinking about marketability?
Well, yeah, it does sell. MM Romance sells like crazy right now. The
but
market
does,
just exploded.
But does MM Weird Shit sell?
It does. There's definitely a market for it. Definitely. Mine sell, so I guess it sells.
You're Karen and Kelly, they should sell.
Aw, sweet. Yeah, it does. There's definitely a market. And the weird stuff, truthfully, when I say weird stuff, I mean sci-fi. Is to the average romance reader, sci-fi is the weird stuff. Is picking up, and it's starting to really find a home now. So it's a good time right now to be writing sci-fi and MM.
When you said weird stuff, is that what you asked? What you right there? You said you couldn't hear what she
you
said.
Want
Oh, I'm sorry.
Qualification on that, then.
I'm sorry. Is that better? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Romance readers in general, in ebooks, for the most part, they're used to contemporaries and cowboys and that kind of thing. But there is a growing market now for sci-fi, especially in my genre, in MM. You're seeing a lot of it right now. It's really starting to pick up and sell. So are like zombies, tentacles, things like that.
Just an FYI, I'm not sure if she was supposed to be on this panel or not, but Stella Price does some weird animal pairings.
Where is she? She's supposed to be here.
Is she?
Uh-huh.
Super trouble.
Ooh.
Trouble. So we're going to move on to Adrienne.
What was the question again? I've already forgot.
Why do you write what you write, and how do you decide the idea behind it?
Usually I write what I write to... push the boundaries, I guess, even social boundaries. The majority of my books take place in a world where you have hybrid dragons called lesser breds that are ostracized by society and even ostracized by, well, society on both sides, by dragons and by people. And it puts people in a place where many people start out as someone who has a life, and then they're reduced to someone who doesn't. And that way I'm able to push the social boundaries. I guess I do it because, you mean, why do I write male?
Well, just in general, why do you write the weird shit as opposed to going to contemporary or even just regular male because it's, you know, two gay cowboys, it's hot, right? But then you got two gay cowboys, one is a tentacle, what's it that?
That's sci-fi.
Well, yeah, but why?
I guess I don't have any particular reason why, other than when you have something that's other than human, you can set yourself apart from it. Rather than thinking black, white, Chinese, German, American, anything, you totally pull yourself out of that, and you can look at something from a whole different view that you don't make it personal for yourself, your color, your race, your religion, and it gives you the opportunity to look at something as an outsider without being emotionally involved in it. I'm sorry, talk louder.
Project.
I move closer.
Project.
But it just gives you a chance to stand outside and look at what the effects of society are on a pairing that you won't be emotionally involved in, and allows you to have a neutral look at it. And that's why I write the interspecies.
Cassidy, same thing.
All of mine are mostly male-female or male-male-female, male-female-female.
Hey, whatever. It's all good, right?
The more the merrier.
Is there something else besides male-female?
Well, I mean, I don't write male.
Tentacles.
Well, no, but I mean you male-male, male-female. Like
Stella.
Like there's a...
There's always got a...
Male-male purple.
Male elephant.
Sweet, let's do it right now. Pop this shit and sell it.
And all of mine are paranormal, and I think the reason I like that is because, like, if there's a demon and you could have sex with this demon, or he could kill you. I mean, it's more of a danger.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people like and are turned on by the danger of it. Mm-hmm. It could go awesome, or you could end up with a flesh-eating bacteria. I mean, you know, depending on which demon it is.
I agree, because there's something about the potential of sex and
danger.
Or winding up as dinner, which happens a lot in my
Or like the angel of death. She could decide you weren't good enough and you no longer exist.
I agree with, especially with what Adrian was saying. Also, I write a series about of zombies, and
I
have a vampire.
First.
How about
okay,
that?
Okay, sweetheart. Yeah. When I wrote them, nobody wrote them.
Bullshit, that's an asshole. I'll tell you about later.
Okay. In any case, this series that I write, it's actually a metaphor, and it can be a metaphor for just about anybody, which I like doing because I like my readers to be able to put themselves in the story. And it doesn't matter if you're black or you're white or you're polka dotted. It doesn't really matter what your heritage is.
I like polka dot.
You're going to see yourself in these, because what I'm writing are people. Right. So even though they're zombies at one time, they were people. They're still kind of people. They're... My zombies aren't juicy, so it's okay.
That's like, good.
Things don't fall off,
yeah,
do they?
Things don't slough off them
usually. That would be awkward.
They're not separating.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the main ones, anyway.
Not the main pieces, anyway.
But the way that it's written, it's kind of a metaphor for... it can be a... mine is like a metaphor, say, for example, for gay rights or civil rights. It could be a metaphor for... And people just see themselves in the characters because they're not specific to a...
Project.
I am. You don't count. That's my husband back there.
Bullshit.
Well, he's the one that I've been saying, hey, he's saying talk up.
Don't listen to him.
Okay, we don't listen to
fuck
him.
Fuck him, yeah. So screw that guy. Fuck that guy.
So I do like writing like that, where anybody can kind of see themselves in the character. I think that's kind of a cool thing.
So just obviously out of sheer contentment and my own curiosity, we're having some fun on this panel tonight. My next question, because really what I do when I write these particular romances or even erotica, when I touch different species, it tends to go with more on the tropes. So you're looking at the aspect of humanity. And so, for example, the fairies, they're kind of the outlaws in society. You have them and they're kind of punk. And I'm kind of pissed at the world. You have the vampires. And so I've already stated that I'm the bad boy of romance, so I can guarantee at one point or another I will probably hit on a few of you tonight. I'm allowed to. But as far as my writing is concerned...
You didn't see the disclaimer when you
no
came
disclaimer.
In?
Well, I was already in your lap earlier, so whatever.
We can't hit on the audience?
Yeah, I will. I will do just...
we can't
that,
hit on the audience?
We can, he can.
So that's a moderator.
I'm trying. My point is, so for the vampire thing, the vampires, whether it's True Blood or you're looking at Twilight or...
We're not looking
some
at Twilight.
Bullshit.
You or, said you that know, with such joy in your
yeah,
voice.
Yeah, I did, right?
That's
or better... Blood. Well, True Blood's good. I like True Blood.
Oh,
but
yeah.
My point is those vampires are acting out the human aggression and sexuality that we want to address but can't because of our backgrounds. The werewolves do the exact same thing with aggressive behavior. I am an emotional writer, so when you touch my work, you pick up my work, you're going to feel something. When I bleed for a book, you're going to feel it. That's my goal, because I want you to have an experience that is something that A, you can relate to, B, you can enjoy, C, you can understand, and D, you just get it. And that's why I do paranormal in general. Every answer to that question I've ever given has been because it's emotional, and that's why, because it just makes sense to me. I'm an emotional writer. Now, to these guys, I want to ask...
Sorry.
It's okay. I lost the question any goddamn way because I'm drunk. No, it's all good. What do you find fascinating about the market's response to what you write?
That's a really good question. We're getting a much broader response right now because of J.R. Ward.
Hell yeah.
Yay Ward. If you don't know J.R. Ward,
Black Dagger Brotherhood, you're missing out.
I think you've been in a cave because everybody's heard of her. She does write some great. Is it Brotherhood of the Dagger?
It's Black Dagger Brotherhood books.
Oh, but the latest book that she just and she's mainstream. And the latest book that she wrote was actually an MM pairing, and it's one of the first. I think one of the first or to really go mainstream, right. Which because before they would never touch what we write. So she's kind of broken through that glass ceiling. So we're getting a lot more response now, and a lot more people are saying, gee, you know, if I like her book, let me go look and see if there's something else. And they're finding our work. So that was I forgot the question.
So essentially, from what I gather, she's saying is J.R. Ward is to what we write, regardless of kink and race and blah, 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 what to romance, what that piece of fuck, what's her name, E.L. James, that...
Oh, dear Lord.
Poor fuck is to what erotic authors read because you discovered E.L. James, boom, all of us are popular.
You know what? I have absolutely nothing against fan fiction.
Hope
I
she don't. Dies.
I don't.
Die, bitch, die.
No. I have nothing against fan fiction. I have written fan fiction.
Same here.
A lot of people in MM romance came from fan fiction. We have fan fiction roots, okay? So I've written it. I have no problem with it. I don't care when people fanfic my work. It does not bother me.
Do they do that?
Yes. Awesome. I know, right?
I'm jealous. Nobody's fanficked my work yet.
But my point is that they took E.L. James. And I'm not upset that someone from fanfiction took their work and rewrote it into an original work and had it published. I don't mind that. What I mind is that you did such a shitty job of it.
Exactly.
It really, if anybody knows anything about BDSM, which, by the way, or there
literature.
Is a GBLBT BDSM panel, you know what a disservice she did to that entire community with this book, because now America, the world in general, now thinks completely wrong things about, you know, BDSM. So I that's what I really don't like about it.
Even worse, some idiot is going to be reading that, think it sounds hot, and think that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Get dead. Right, exactly.
And then
so,
the backlash of that is
yeah.
entirely on that whole community rather than on the work of one writer whose research was clearly shoddy at best.
And
right.
the fact is, we
exactly.
already take a huge flack for that because of what we are and who we are. As a lifestyle right. person for, again, 14 years, we take a lot of shit. But we take it in grace, hopefully anyway, and we do the best we can, and we just move on.
Right.
But E.L. James did do a disservice to us because not only did she say, you know, I'm going to put this crap out here, but she said in interviews, I don't even like this shit. Now, I have my particular kinks. I have my particular things that squick me, and as all of our authors do. And
you know, contrary...
No, you don't.
Contrary to what your
you
English
really
professors...
Don't.
Contrary to what your English professors have told you, you do not need to write what you know.
No,
you
don't.
You do need to write what you like.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, it's going to show.
Let's talk about that for a minute because we're talking about the alien thing. So we talked about why you guys do what you do. How did you initially get into it so we can try to relate this to the audience who wants to write this shit?
Okay. Like I said, I started in fan fiction. Someone pointed me toward Lord of the Rings fan fiction. Actually, I started with the G-rated stuff. And then I discovered the naughty stuff. And then I discovered the MM stuff. And then I never turned around after that. That was just it. And I read it for a long time. And then I said, you know, I think I would like to try writing this. So I did. And
so glad you did.
The thing with me is I never, ever wrote canon. Ever. People used to hate me for it because I used to do terrible things to the characters.
That equals sales, by the way.
I once gave Legolas a detachable penis. Okay.
Do you still have that?
It's still out there.
That
yes.
sounds pretty interesting.
It was called
actually.
The Incredible Wonder, the Incredible what? Something Wonder Wand of Mirkwood or something like that. I don't know.
What was your first OTP?
Oh, I don't remember. Tell you the truth, it's been years. I'm sorry, but yeah, my stuff is actually. I still get emails from. You know, from people that like bark it in their favorites and stuff, and I'm like, oh my god, I haven't remembered that story in
like
20 years.
Let's clarify real quick. So I'm actually very particular about my male shit that I read. Motherfucker got skills. She can pay the bills. So if you pick up nothing else, I don't even care if you don't buy my work. Please buy my work. But motherfucker can sell.
Thank you.
Because she delivers. You won't be disappointed.
We're going to put that on your badge next year.
Please do.
Motherfucker delivers.
Damn.
Credit me.
So, just 1 second as we finish the answer.
And sells.
Like a boss.
But in any case, I started writing it. I got such good feedback on it. And it was really the fan fiction community that encouraged me to start writing my own original work. And when I did that, then I went and I researched publishers and I put myself out there and I sold. And then I've been selling ever since. So I no longer write fan fiction. I'm no longer really in the fandom. Only because I have to keep it separate. But I still read it once in a while, and I have no problem with it. But yeah, that's where I started. And I'm sorry, you had a question?
You did. Hold on.
Yes, I did. I've actually got three, but I'm going to start with the first one. Because everything you guys are saying is just arousing more questions. Wait, I should think you're
arousing. We're here to arouse.
No, but in all seriousness, though.
Yeah, that's all right.
I know, I'm straight, I'm not cool. No, but anyway, in all seriousness, you guys, I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. It's a really interesting presentation. I wanted to ask a question to you, being authors in this industry. Like, it took probably a while for people to become open-minded to homosexual literature, and probably a while for people to become, open-minded to, like, interracial, you know, relationship type of literature. And what I was wondering is, how do you feel that audiences take to homosexual interracial literature, like as a hybrid together?
I think readers of MM are probably more open to everything, because that's just the way it is. Maybe 80% of my readers are straight women. That's just the market. But those women who are open to reading about male-male relationships are more open, or female-female relationships, or bi relationships, what have you, are more open to reading about other subgenres. So they're more open to reading interracial. They're more open to reading BDSM. They're just more open-minded.
I want to clarify a statistic that has been brought to my attention. So my ex-girlfriend is a mixed-race woman and a very intelligent human being. And about a year ago or so told me that the realistic viewpoint of the demographics of America is that interracial people are taking over the country. So no longer is it us in control, quote unquote, but it's the interracial folks. Now, that being said, I'm cool with this. I don't give a shit, really. I just can't care, because why? In the end, your dollar still spends the same to me. But what Karenin has said has become really apparent to me the more that I dig into the marketing aspect of things, because I got a couple of other friends who are not white and they do sell very well when the books are marketed properly. And that's the key thing I want to talk to you guys about real quick and ask you guys, well, as far as your marketing, particularly Adrian and Cassidy, because you haven't said a whole lot tonight.
Well, you haven't let us.
I know. That's what I do. So when it comes to marketing, Adrian, what do you do to distinguish yourself from the rest of the pack so that these folks who are trying to push their stuff out to publishers or their own markets get noticed compared to Karenin or myself or anyone else? And do you care even in that particular realm too?
Well, yeah, I do care about marketing, but I will be the first one to admit I'm horrible at it. I'm getting up here like this, like, gives me hives. I'm just a nervous wreck. But it's very hard for me to talk about myself, which I have found as an author that's very important, so that you can identify, or your audience can identify with you. I do try and let people know what I write and tell them that it's very different. I've been told more than one time what I write is like nothing out there. I have no problems killing characters, even in a fantasy interracial world. The violence that happens is realistic, and the problems that happen are realistic, and they're based in realism. And sometimes you'll forget that it's fantasy that I'm writing, because you can fall into them and understand their plight. But and that's what I tell people. If you want something that's different, and you want something that you've never read before, and that is not going to turn out like you think it's supposed to turn out, and sometimes maybe not turn out like you want it to turn out, but is going to affect you in a way that maybe you've never thought of, and you don't hate me before you get to the end of the book and can finish it because you're mad at me, you will experience that with what I write.
Cassidy?
I am new, like I said, and I'm trying to learn how to market myself. So far, I'm really active on Twitter. I have my bookmarks. I will talk to anybody, and I will tell them what I write. And some people like it. Some people run screaming the other direction. But I'm hoping to get myself out there. Being on these panels and, you know, talking to people is kind of my way of doing it.
I don't know about her, but I found talking about the books and talking about the stories, that's easy. When they start asking you to write blogs about your personal life or things, that's where...
Fuck, I hate that.
My personal life and my writing life are separate. I mean, I'm a soccer mom in my personal life. Can't really go to the soccer field and be like, hey, go buy my books. They're going
to
be like, your child can no longer spend the night with my child. So that's kind of how I'm trying to learn how to balance those two. You know, the two me's. Oh no, he was wanting to ask questions, but I will speak up.
In terms of trends in the paranormal romance genre, we went through, I think, vampires, then zombies, I think mermaids they tried to push on the industry. What's next?
My big thing is demons. Because demons can be a wide range. I mean, demons can have, like in mine, I have a scent demon, a plague demon, a hijacker demon that can take over your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can make you do things that you probably aren't going to remember. But there's just such a wide range that you can do with demons. So, I mean, I don't know if it's the next big thing, but to me, that's just, it's more wide open than a vampire.
Right.
I mean, the vampire is going to sparkle and he's going to have sex with you. Whatever.
My vampires don't sparkle.
Well, mine don't either. I have one vampire. She's pissed about being a vampire, too. Because she's like, this is not what the books and the movies said. I'm pissed. And that's how I started out writing this series. I was like, I heard these girls talking about, oh, my God, it's so great to be a vampire. I want to be a vampire. And I'm like, well, what if it's not? What if you get in there and you're like, no, this sucks.
Where's my bank account? That's what one of my vampires
said.
She's
because, like,
and
she's
kind
like
of crux.
I'm going to live forever and have
doing
no money.
The laundry of her maker, and she's like, I'm washing his underwear. What the fuck?
Didn't we do this with Katie McAllister had a series, or some author had a series where they were a soccer mom of sort, and they became a vampire, and they still had a
carpool and
carpool.
If I'm a vampire, I'm not driving
like
the fucking carpool
around. So yeah, I mean, you know, fuck that.
Going back, I don't drive the fucking carpool anyway.
Hell no.
Going back
I don't
to
like
your question,
except for my own.
I agree with her.
Trends make rounds, so it may come back around to vampires. I don't know, but I can tell you one thing: if you're looking for the next trend, look at ebooks because that's where you're going to find it first.
I've got a better answer for that actually. So my mentor is Morgan Hawk. Do we have any Morgan Hawk fans in the house?
Nope.
Yay.
All right, we have one. All right. So the thing that she taught me was to look at the top 10 high-grossing movies. And as far as your trends are concerned, you're going to pick your hero, your heroine, your story type, and then you write that, and that's what's going to come next. So I've already got the end to the next big thing. It's a matter of, can I write it fast enough before
robots.
The ebook world, because ebooks catch on faster, and then it picks it up afterwards and go from there.
I
so
guess
that's true.
That's
that.
Probably
stuff
part of my problem
first.
For the marketing part.
New York,
I don't do
ebook,
that.
Traditional. No.
For me, that's, I guess, where I'm extraordinarily different, is I don't look at what the market is. My stories are all individual. They're all born from my own thoughts, but my own imagination. They're not influenced. At least I try not to let them be influenced by what's going on. I guess that's why they're different. But I do agree with Cassidy about angels and demons. The God Code is based on the concept of angels and demons and, you know, immortality.
I do have angels with my demons.
Yeah.
I think
so
it's the
and
wings.
I think that's neat.
I'll give you that.
I think it's the wings. The wings are doing something for me.
My death angels have their big black wings.
My question is, if you're starting as a writer, is it okay to start with ebooks? Because
absolutely.
I'm currently only available on ebooks.
Okay, and the reason why I'm asking is because one of my brothers is a writer and he started with Random House. And there's this big controversy about doing ebooks versus going to a real publisher, but there's a lot more rejection where you have the power to do it on your own. So
I have found
more people or more writers,
okay? And I have several friends who are also writers. They have been traditionally published, and they have been through ebooks. They've been self-published through ebooks. They are making wonderful livings on even their self-published stuff through ebooks. And if you're going to do ebooks, in my honest opinion, sure, start out with some publishers so you get an understanding of what a well-formatted book is. And there's plenty of ebook publishers that have a larger audience and a larger customer pool. And so they need your books, is what I'm saying, is there's not enough to meet demand. But once out of that, don't be afraid to self-publish your stuff, because by then you can offer more of your books for a less price, which is important in today's economy. And you get all of that, except for what you have to give to your publisher. I mean, give to like Amazon or whomever.
Well, I think that with what we write, it's more comfortable for people to buy them as ebooks, because you're not sitting on the train, you know, with the cover showing. You know, you have no idea what the person's reading on their Kindle or their Nook or their iPad.
There's nothing like two guys groping each other that says,
"That's what I'm saying.
I love man dick."
That's what I'm saying. I mean, so I think, you know, I think that with what we write, that ebooks are the way to go.
There
just
can be.
They're more comfortable with purchasing it.
You should know that.
The big thing about ebooks in particular is the fact that, because we're all in the South right now, we got a really Christian
artificial
background here.
Real, you know.
That being said, my pastor don't have to see what's on my Kindle.
Yeah. I can sit at the soccer field and read away. I can be reading one of their books. Nobody knows. I'm like, no, I'm reading the Bible.
Damn right. That's Ezekiel 13:47 and James and 69. Yeah, that's right.
James 69.
James Jezebel.
Blasphemy is Jezebel 69. What I can add to that is, this is something I've told a lot of people. My print books feed my ego, but my ebooks feed my purse.
And I'll agree
with
that.
That's where I make my money, is in ebooks.
And I'll agree with that wholeheartedly.
I'll get you in a second.
So I've actually had the pleasure of being in both. I have only a couple of books now because my publisher and I had issues monetarily, not in a bad way, but it's tax season. No, that is. Otherwise, I had a ton of more print books this con. It was really tight. That being said, yeah, I love the ebooks. It does feed my ego that Karen says, and I'm actually with a couple of bigger publishers than even these fine folks are, because I got lucky, and that's kind of what it boils down to, is I got lucky. That being said, though, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't really matter where you publish. I'm not personally a fan of self-publishing, because the ROI for me doesn't make sense. However, if return on investment.
Okay, thank you.
However, because in self-publishing, it's a return on investment of your time and your money. So if you spend X amount of dollars on your cover, X amount of dollars on your editing, and so forth, you already start off on the negative. That being said, why bother? But you also miss out some opportunities. You also gain some opportunities. Now, the fact of the matter is the key to all of this, and I think my panelists will agree on this, is it doesn't really matter what you write or how you publish, but there are three factors that sell a book: the cover art, the price, the blurb. If you've got those three things in place, I would surmise, and again, these guys can discuss this, you're probably going to sell. Now, my question would be to them, do you build your audience while you're writing the book or after you've published it? And again, this is still talking about the weird sci-fi interracial alien bullshit. We're on topic here still.
Sort of. Sort of.
When I started writing, when I started publishing, I kind of had that in mind. I did not want to put all my eggs in one basket with one publisher. So what I did was I have my main publisher, which is Torquay Press, but I stuff published with maybe a dozen other houses. And I did that for a specific reason, because each house has a built-in readership. There are definite crossovers, especially when you're talking about a subgenre like MM romance. So readers, you know, will shop at the same, you know, same readers will shop at different houses. But each house also has readers who will only shop at that house. And the reason I did this was so that people who, say, go to, say, Lucid is one of my publishers. They'll go to Lucid and buy my book, like what they read, Google me, and find my backlist. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, people will go to Torquay Press and read something from me there, Google my backlist, and go to Lucid and buy my book there. So it builds the readership that way. You're expanding the market. I've recently started going to more conventions that are geared toward MF readers, straight readers, straight romance, and trying to break into that market with my stuff, but exposing more readers to it. And that seems to be working as well.
2 minutes, Adrian, go.
I got the five-minute signal.
You have already, like, made me forget the question. Before it goes out or after? That's, like I said, for me, I just write the story as it comes. I guess I'm an afterwards person, that I put what I write, let people know, you know, this story is about, you know, a man's, you know, lost love for an angel and his own guilt and, you know, fighting for survival of humanity, or, you know, this story is about a guy who's dead and who's in love with someone who's alive. I admit I don't push out before a story is done, simply because I'm not always sure how it's going to end or exactly what it's going to be about. So I guess I'm an afterwards person.
Cassidy, 2 minutes.
When I first started, I was definitely an afterwards, but now that I do have a readership, I will, you know, let them know what I'm working on, so that they can, you know, anticipate what's coming out. You know, I'm very active on Twitter, so I will put out, you know, working on this. You know, I don't give it all away, but I'll, you know, little teasers out there. So I was before or after, but I'm before now, definitely.
Excellent. I'm going to take 5 minutes, if allowed, to do Q&A with the audience, and then we'll wrap it up with final thoughts and go from there. This gentleman?
Yes, very briefly. Can you please give me, as a person who's not involved in the industry, your best definition of urban fantasy and fan fiction? Because I haven't heard those terms before.
Well, urban fantasy is real life. Like, okay, you live in Atlanta, but say, like, next door there's a guy who's half a dragon. He may drive a Porsche. You know, he may go to work with you. He may not. You know, that's urban fantasy. It's based in real time, real place, where the monsters are your next door neighbor.
But they blend in. Mm-hmm.
They can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They normally blend in. And, yeah. You know.
And fan fiction is are stories that are written by fans that take place in the universe of a specific book or movie. For example, when I used to write fan fiction, I wrote Lord of the Rings fan fiction. So my stories were set within the world, Tolkien's world of Lord of the Rings. If there was Harry Potter fan fiction, there's fan fiction for just about everything.
And that's not your personal world, so that's
right,
something
you're playing in
cannot,
somebody else's sandbox.
Yeah, you can't take that as your own.
Somebody else's scene. I got
right.
It.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or
character.
Yes,
sorry.
The last census over the last 10 years, there's been a 34% increase in the number of interracials. So the country's getting browner.
Absolutely.
Right. Has or have your publishers put pressure on you to change the way you write to fit the new demographics of the country?
Actually, yes. I'll take this and then go for you guys real quick. Decadent Publishing has been really predominant in pushing the interracial lines. Oh, Jesus Christ. Mahalia Levy writes for a small publisher who does only interracial, And those authors make bank because they market exclusively to, and not in the low ghetto bullshit that we're all used to seeing in the bookstores and paperback and crap. They market to the ones who really want to read the stories, and those authors do very well because it's not the ghetto gangster who's a lawyer now and the bitch who was a thug and blah, blah, blah. It's, she's black, so what? Big fucking deal. Now she's a heroine and whatever. And these authors make bank off of that because they market the way they do. Rest of you guys, minute, please, talk, please.
I haven't been pressured into changing what I write or to write more of a specific pairing, but they pretty much let me do what I want. So
because she sells.
Because I sell. Motherfucker sells.
Motherfucker sells.
I haven't been pressured either to write interracial, but I've found that a lot of my contemporaries, almost all the characters are not white or black or any particular, but they're a mix of everything. You know, each character might be, you know, part Hispanic, part black, half Chinese, you know, half German, doesn't matter.
I have to ask, do we have any chinchas?
Chinchillas?
Chinchas.
I don't
Chinese
even
ninjas.
That would be interesting, though.
I'll explain to you guys later.
Oh.
She's got a not yet look on her face.
I've got a, I don't know.
We're supposed to be writing butt ninjas for next year, so. We did, we actually, this is TC Blue, she's also a writer. And last year we were at a, yeah, she'll be at panels this weekend. Last year there's a little sci-fi convention right here in Atlanta every year in May called Atlanticon. Has anybody heard of it? If you haven't heard of it, you ought to go. It's a sweet little convention. It's very small. Everybody is so, it's a very family-oriented kind of convention. Everybody knows everybody else. It's a lot of fun. But we were at Atlanticon, not this past May, but the year before, and at a panel, and we decided, for some reason, the panelists decided they were going to write an anthology called Butt Pirates in Space. And we did. And I actually have copies with me, but I don't have them here at this panel, but I'll have them over the weekend if anybody's interested.
That sounds interesting.
It's a humorous, obviously, anthology. But it we're just so excited about it. We're going to do a sequel next year called Butt Ninjas.
Fuck yeah.
From hell.
I was about to say, are they in space? Deep sea? Mm-hmm.
Real quick, final thoughts go with Cassidy. Final thoughts, alien relationships and romance in general, erotica, whatever. Last words.
For me, I think it's the danger thing. I mean, you know, you don't know what an alien's going to do to you. I mean, you could get out and he's got like 5 penises. You don't know. So it's like, it's the unknown and the danger that arouses people.
The logistics of that just blew my mind, Cassidy. Thank you.
Morgan Hawkins.
I know there's more.
Well, whatever. It's going to look like a cow's udder.
Maybe they come out of multiple parts of the body.
Oh, like they just
like limbs.
Shoot out.
Almost
we've
like
already plotted 3 novels.
Almost like tentacles, but smaller. No.
I don't know, but if that were to.
We don't know.
Prehensile penises.
Yes, like, prehensile penis.
You realize if someone existed like that, they'd be automatically signed on for like some 10, you know, 10
billion dollar porn deal.
Ten year, that's right.
Adrian, final thoughts, baby, go.
I guess in whatever you want to write, whatever you feel comfortable write it. You know, and I think that we all need to do that. I enjoy, I guess, pushing the boundaries, and that's what I always tell everybody, push the boundaries.
Karen, go.
I would say that if, you know, you want to see more interracial romances, the way to show that is with your pocketbook. Go out and buy them.
Yep.
If you buy them, the publishers will keep putting them out.
Right.
My final thoughts, same thing. You guys want it, demand it. Yep. Not only do you spend the money, but you email the publishers and say, hey, we want more of this. I like these characters in this book. You want this series? Ask the authors, ask the publishers, continue these if they can. If the authors can't do the series, that's fine, but you show us you want it. For those of you who are writers, I would say build your audience. There's somebody looking out for you, wanting to read what you've written, and that's that. Now, last thing real quick before we cut, I would like you all to give my panelists an applause. Motherfuckers, knocks it out the park as always. Second applause, Scott. Applause, please.
And for our moderator, Sasha, please.
He was... Please, yes, why not?
Moderator. We have Zena.
EFF was kind enough to host us, so I want to make sure we recognize them and the respect that they deserve. If you guys have questions...
I have some... I'm sorry. I have some gift cards for one of my publishers up here. If you want one, please come up.
I have bookmarks. Anybody wants one?
I will tell you what I've been told earlier is Scott needs to clear the room, so these three are going to bounce... Well, two of us are going to bounce to the hull. So come catch us. Come see us at the con. It's hard to miss us. Give yourselves a round of applause. You deserve it.
And thank you for sticking through this rather convoluted...
Now, one last round of applause. So, I didn't hear you motherfuckers. Louder! 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 Best panel at DragonCon, louder! Thank you!
Yeah.